Wisconsin. Here's Kyle Wallace, Ben Brust,
and Alex
Brad
Trove.
Nortman.
Hey, we might as well change the imaging at this point. It's KBS.
No. It's KBN. Brad's on paternity leave.
Surgery leave, paternity leave.
He's been gone. He had his NFL offseason. he's enjoying that book, boy.
Ben Brust, Kyle Wallace with Alex Strofe.
That was a great
show.
Commercial break for us.
Alex Strofe proceeded to sing to me and Kyle, and we had no choice but to listen because we could not control the speaker Strofe was singing into. So he's doing good. Looks like he's turning the corner, but I'm not going to tell him how to feel. Drew Brees is going to tell us how it is, though, because he joined First Take, and now Strofe threw up the one finger. I need to pull up the audio because I was singing the entire 2 minutes of the break.
Whatever makes a kid actually happy.
Yeah, like, I'm just glad he's in a better mood. You know,
I brought him singing, down. Singing makes me happy, so I'm going to sing. All right, man, go
ahead. That's legitimately what he said, which is wild.
Yeah, and then he left the screen.
I
want to
be chipper. Singing makes me smile.
Hey,
are you ready?
I think this computer's having a stroke. It says 99% complete.
90. All right, we're good. All right, here's Stephen A. Smith and Drew Brees on First Take this morning. Yeah, what do you have on her? No one can willingly love you.
Like
that was me
does.
Earlier in the show.
Who's playing the best at the quarterback position?
I think Jordan Love is playing outstanding.
Pause, Drew. Did you just say Jordan Love? Of the Packers? Jordan Love after what you just saw against Cleveland?
Yeah. He's going to be just fine.
Okay.
He's one of my favorite young quarterbacks in this league right now. I think before it's all said and done, that Packers team, obviously, in my mind, they're a favorite. In my mind, they're a favorite to go and win it all. I think they've got all the weapons. You have to defend every blade of grass against the Packers. And I can't say that for every team.
You have to defend every blade of grass against the Packers. Drew Brees did not back down from Stephen A. Smith, and he wanted to get at him. He wanted to transparently talk about, like, you know, all the other quarterbacks and how could you say Jordan Love after his performance, this, that, and the other thing. But this is a holistic view, as we've talked about the 3 weeks that we're asking you to answer on our poll question. Has Jordan Love been elite, great, good, or average? And I think Drew Brees is barking up the Kyle tree.
He sure is. And let me tell you, I love being in elite company with Drew Brees because Drew Brees knows ball. And he's seen from the Green Bay Packers enough to understand how good Jordan Love has been. Again, he understands that in the game of football, even Drew had multiple interception games. Even Drew had bad decisions. That is just what happens in football. And what Drew Brees is not going to allow, he's not going to allow the poor game that he had against the Cleveland Browns to paint the picture of who Jordan Love has been throughout the entire season. Now, again, Jordan Love has not played at an elite level because of that game, but he played at an elite level week two and a very, very high level in week one. And so we cannot allow one performance to diminish all the work that he put in week one and week two and leading the Green Bay Packers to not only beat the Detroit Lions, which I would say after 3 weeks, everybody probably believes in Detroit again, and then beating the Washington Commanders as well. We can't take that away. Jordan Love was the catalyst on the offense that led that. We don't have a rush game right now that is consistent. Jordan Love, week one and week two, led this football team and he led them to victory. So I'm not going to sit here and try to diminish Jordan Love. I'm going to say Drew Brees is on to something, and especially highlighting how good this Green Bay Packers offense can be. We just need to make sure that Matt LaFleur maximizes this offense and make sure they reach their potential so we can see the Packers win the championship like Drew Brees believes they can.
Look, he's a little further than I am, but he's closer to what I am because I think that Stephen A. Smith wants to just say, look at the Cleveland Browns game. Anyone who watched that game that knows anything about quarterback play would know that Jordan Love was not set up for success and it was not his fault. Could he have been better in spots? Yeah, sure. Every quarterback could have. But when you have a left guard that you brought in, a high-paid free agent, have his third injury and have to come out, and when you have Zach Tom go out after the first play because of his oblique, and then you stick somebody in the right tackle position that's never played that in live game action against that front seven, Elgton Jenkins had his worst game maybe of his career.
He admitted it to
the media himself. There is no way with Jaden Reed going out and no Christian Watson, and you know, with the offensive line, that he could have been a guy that was elite, right? Like, there was no way. And to be honest, he still did enough, despite the mistakes, to win the football game.
He got him down there.
Yeah, and it was an open pass and a PI, but did he do it? He did it.
Yeah.
The special teams were horrible. The offense wasn't great, but a lot of that was due to things out of his control. And I sound like a Jordan Love, like, stand, defender, excuse maker.
No, you cook it.
But there's 2 weeks of evidence of what he was when you still don't have the run game that you expected to have through 3 weeks. And he did everything he needed to do to beat two very good football teams in the first 2 weeks when we were all looking at the start of the season, wondering what those 2 weeks would be like. Now, he has an opportunity against the Dallas Cowboys, who are atrocious. Their defense is horrible. They have no run defense. They sit back in zone. They don't even know where to stand in zone. They let guys get open and sit there, and they don't go after them. And so there's going to be opportunities for everyone to, quote-unquote, get right.
Right game, baby.
Get right. Now, you still have to execute. You still got to go out in there and perform. You have a full week of knowing, it seems like, Aaron Banks and Zach Tom, who are riding the bike together. They're not going to be out there. So what can you do with the guys that you have that you've made investments in, right? You've made a trade. You got a second-round right tackle. Jordan Morgan was a first-round pick, and you put him in a spot he's more comfortable, that he maybe played in training camp.
Yeah,
Ellen Jenkins is going to step up the challenge because that's who he is. He's been a rock for that offensive line. Rashid Walker's not going against Micah Parsons, so that's a plus. And he's not going against Myles Garrett like he was last week. Micah Parsons is on our side.
See, this is what I love right now, man.
I keep it real.
You know, all it took was, you know, I guess I don't have the credentials of being a future Hall of Fame quarterback, so I can't convince Ben. But I'm glad Drew Brees backed me up, because Ben, all of a sudden, you done came to the bright side. You are Mr. Brightside right now. The way that you are actually looking at this and understanding that there are so many elements that go into how well a quarterback can perform, and I don't give a dang who you are. And I think you put it so perfectly when you're starting right tackle and you're starting left guard, both go out of a football game, you're gonna be in trouble. Oh, thank you. Yeah, I was like, what is happening? Is Strofe having
is this another
moment,
song he's gonna be mad at
again.
Us for?
But no, so I'm
called you Mr. Brightside.
Yes, I get it. And so,
trying to produce the show.
Thank you. It threw me off because, you know, you've been moaning and
don't
and
make dumb references if you're not gonna. Okay, never mind. We're done here.
You just threw me off, buddy. I'm just saying.
Through the first hour, it was weird to have something positive thrown into the show by you.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be you having a moment. So I was just like,
now,
oh, here we go.
Now we
go
know
again.
That you're in a good mood.
Yeah, so
we need to know where your feelings are so we know what to do with you.
And with that.
It's just the price I pay. Destiny is calling me.
Do you agree or disagree with us?
Open up my eager eyes.
I'm Mr. Brightside.
And Drew Brees is too. And so for me, when I think about the Green Bay Packers and I look at just the overall what he said, I think what he said is completely factual. And that's why I think we need to take a little heat off of Jordan Love, because what he has shown us throughout the first three games. One bad game should not determine who he is. But also, I love the fact that he also believes in the Green Bay Packers, right? He sees the scheme. He's a smart guy. He understands schematically. We have a coach that usually draws up some pretty good plays for guys to get open. Now, the game on Sunday is just atrocious. A lot of bad things happened, and unfortunately, the Green Bay Packers were not preparing that falls on the head coach, Matt LaFleur. But again, I feel good, and I love what Drew Brees says, and a lot of Packers fans. This should be a message to Packers fans, right? What Drew Brees just said should be how you should look at your football team. Get out the dumps. Move on. Week three is over, and we are headed to Dallas.
I just
baby.
Like I like the way he looked at it from like he's it's very evident, right? We all know he played a long career in the NFL.
Very long.
He's been through many seasons as a quarterback where he's been in games where it probably didn't go the way that even a Hall of Fame potential quarterback would have wanted it to go. But when you have 3 weeks, you're listening to him talk about the team. He's not reacting to just the one game. He's taking what he saw against Detroit, the Commanders, and the Browns. And he's saying, all right, through all the things that we've talked about, Kyle, it's still fair to say that I really love what the Green Bay Packers are doing. They have an elite defense. Jordan Love has looked better than he did last year when he was injured. Week three against the Browns, too many issues on the offensive line. Guess what Drew Brees will look like with that offensive line?
Hey, listen, little Drew Brees. Look,
run,
Drew Brees,
Drew,
yeah, Drew would have been, he'd been eaten for lunch by Myles Garrett, right? And so, again, that's why I just don't want us to sit here and look at this and understand that you have to give credit where credit is due. Jim Schwartz and that defense did an excellent job against the Green Bay Packers. Jim Schwartz outcoached Matt LaFleur. When it was defense versus offense, his defense outcoached Matt LaFleur, and that's why we got the results that we got. They forced us to make bad decisions. We had our offensive linemen. I mean, you can't really control injuries, but the offensive linemen weren't playing well, and they were able to take advantage of that. And this is coming from a guy like Drew Brees, who's had a bad game. He's threw 5 interceptions in a game before, right? But we still think he's a Hall of Fame quarterback. So let's just simmer down and calm down and stop acting like Jordan Love is still not a great quarterback.
I'm here for critiques. I'm here for your other opinions, as I see some debate on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee and at ESPN Madison, as well as on the Carbless Talk and Text line as JB and the V chimes in. Can you add someone to this show who's not a Jordan Love apologist, please? The Jordan Love excuses, it's not his mistake or anything, you know, that you guys push every day about Jordan is getting really old.
No, it's not getting old. You're just a hater of Jordan Love. When you don't like somebody, then that's what you say. Again, if you watch week one and week two, how could you not think Jordan Love is a very good quarterback? What about those two performances are making you say, oh, well, you're just a Jordan Love
pro- I guess
pilot. Jordan
I guess
Love had one bad game.
Then JB and the V, answer Kyle's question. What from the first two games would tell you that he's not a good quarterback? So let's see what he says.
I'm so serious. When you don't believe in somebody, which is cool, if you don't believe in Jordan Love, you're going to nitpick and you're going to find every reason. I agree Jordan Love did not play well in week three. I agree decision-making needs to be better. We talked about it yesterday. You getting paid $55 million not to make that decision under pressure and throw that interception. So you get paid too much money not to run backwards and take that sack. Like, so those things I see, I understand, but on top of that, he has a lot of great moments as well, and you have to acknowledge that.
I think we're acknowledging all of the things that are going on here, and I'm going to acknowledge Gina Della from Pella because she's the best, the absolute best, and if you get the opportunity to meet her at any of the events going on around the community when they have something at the state fair in the summer, or you can go to the showroom, and she's usually around in Brookfield or in the Madison area, if you see her, she's going to light up your world. She's infectious in terms of how great she is with people and how much she cares about you and your home, and that echoes throughout her team. I can speak from experience. They came to my house, and my whole first floor was replaced. That was with an older home, and it was windows from 80 years ago. And they worked with me to fit within my budget. I got the financing, and boom, bang, bop, they took care of it. The installation was amazing.
La, la, la.
The financing was amazing. Plus the energy savings, the home value, it's all there. So go to PellaWI.com and get your consultation by the end of the month and then order it, and you'll get 0% interest for up to 5 years. That's PellaWI.com. We'll go quickly to George on the north side. Go ahead, George, on the Carpus Talk and Text Line.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, so this is where I'm at with Packer fans, and this is what I talk about. Listen, if you're not a fan of the Packers or Jordan Love, then stop ridiculing him, because he's not a bad quarterback. Yeah, he threw a dumb pass, but when you look at it, that cornerback actually was following Tucker Kraft, and he dipped back. And you could tell that's what he thought, but dude dipped back. He probably looked at people, they probably ran film and see that those guys ran that type of play, and it probably just was a situation where they looked at how they were lined up. Just like when the New England Patriots, they said they studied that play with Seattle. Stuff happens like that. Dude, be a fan or go away. That's my thing. Be a fan or go away, because he's not a bad quarterback, and I'm tired of just the people just talking about him every time he make a mistake.
Thank you, George, on the north side.
Hey, listen, George was preaching. He was preaching. Hey, there's a hotkey we have from that with Mark Tauscher. And all that what George talked about was basically saying, and that's football.
That's football.
The only thing I'll say is it's still inexcusable to throw that interception there. I think 99% of his point was right, except you can't make that mistake. And partially, like I've said, that is on Matt LaFleur not knowing the situation. Ben Bruss, Kyle Wallace, Alex Stroff. Let's go to Jason Wilde joining us next on Kyle Bruss and Ortman.
This is Kyle Bruston Nortman, KBN.
I legitimately understand sugar.
Is it good, Brad?
It's unbelievable. It's so good. I'm changed. Not for the better.
Come on.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
I'm not leaving. I'm not leaving.
The Wolf of Wall Street was on the other day when I was flipping through channel. Great family film.
three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year.
I'm a naturally inquisitive person.
Holding everybody accountable.
If you feel better about that, I'm happy to do so.
Jason Wilde is on Kyle Bruston Norton.
You heard big voice Jason Wilde of Wilde and Tausch. You can hear 9 to noon across these various stations is joining Kyle Bruston Norton. You got Ben Bruston, Kyle Wallace, and Strofe running the show. Jason, what's going on? Jason?
Not a lot, guys. How are you?
Doing pretty well. Pretty well. Kyle's back.
Doing well. Doing well.
Kyle, no pleasantries with Jason? It's been a while.
Yeah, it has been a while. Jason scared me for a second. He hadn't responded. It's good to talk to you, Jason.
Yeah, I think my audio was a little bit messed up here at Lambeau, so my fault. It's good to talk to you guys, too.
So, Jason, the majority of our conversation today has been, as you can imagine, based around Jordan Love. Our poll question was through 3 weeks, because I think we're going to do this every week. Has he been elite, great, good, or average? And it's just, it's taken people a lot of different directions.
Where's it taking people?
The majority, like 40% are average, 30% are average, 40% good, like 17 great, and, you know, single digits elite. I think we're a little palmy right now, as you guys would say. A little prisoner of the moment from the Cleveland game. Is that fair? Because I think he was pretty good those first 2 weeks, and he was not set up for success with the way the offensive line had injuries and everything that played out.
Yeah, I think he's been good. I wouldn't say he's been great. I wouldn't say he's been elite. I wouldn't say he's been bad. I think he's been good. And, you know, look, again, I think everyone looks at this through their own preferred prism, right? If you are a true Jordan Love believer, then you're saying, no, he's been great, and it's been the stuff around him that's made him less than great. My favorite one was people that didn't like him being criticized for the interception, responding by pointing out how he led the game-tying field goal drive, and they just, you know, they got the kick blocked, but he did his part. He got a 20-yard pass interference penalty, and he threw short to Tucker Kraft, and Tucker Kraft got a bunch of yards after the catch to get him in field goal range. Now, that doesn't mean that what he did is insignificant. That's not it. But let's not make this sound like it's, you know, John Elway against the Browns in like the 1987 AFC Championship game or whatever that was, where of the drive. Like, he didn't do that. His numbers in his three games, he has thrown 5 touchdowns against 1 interception. He has completed 67.9% of his passes, so that's good. His passer rating is 110.1. That's 4th in the league. So those are all really good. You know, what they're asking him to do, his yardage numbers, 183 against the Browns, 292 against Washington, 188 against Detroit. You know, he hasn't been asked to put them on his shoulders. So, again, I don't know when that game is coming. Who knows? It could be Sunday night, where he's going to have to throw the ball around. But I would say this: if you want to vote for elite, then you have to be able to show me how they have just incredibly taken advantage of the first 3 opponents being very clearly hell-bent on stopping their running game, because an elite quarterback or someone who's playing at elite level would have probably taken more advantage than they have. They had lulls in those first 2 wins offensively. They obviously only managed 10 points in Cleveland. So I don't think there's anything wrong saying he's been good. You can even say he's been really good if you want, because at times he certainly has been. But this feels like the kind of question that's really more of a Rorschach test for how passionately you either believe in Love or doubt Love, or if you're just sort of in the middle.
I mean, I honestly said I want to check the pulse today, and I think we got the pulse from a lot of people.
And I think the pulse of average is ridiculous with the Green Bay Packers. But just, I am curious, are you less confident in the Packers moving forward as a contender after that loss against the Browns?
No, not at all.
That's
I mean, and by the way, yeah, he's been He has not been average. If you're answering that, you're just as biased as people that are saying he's been elite. So he's been in the middle, and that's okay. Like, you know what? I want to see him be elite when the game's on the line in the postseason, and he doesn't throw, like, in his last five postseason quarters plus one snap, because it was the final play of the third quarter in San Francisco. He's thrown five interceptions in basically five quarters. Like, if they want to get to where they want to go, he can't do that. So, you know, he's thrown one pick that counted. He had another one that got wiped out by a penalty. But I think he's, I haven't lost faith in him. Certainly haven't lost faith in this team. Definitely haven't lost faith in their defense. Their defense is the real deal. And I think there'll probably be more games where they need them to win the game for them. But what I really want to see is what happens when there's a team that, for whatever reason that night, unlocks the secret of putting up a big number against the Packers defense. And is the Packers offense able to bail them out, so to speak, if that were to occur?
That's crazy how things have shifted.
Yeah, well, they have it, and it is real. Jason Wilde's joining us here on Kyle, Bruston, Nortman across ESPN Wisconsin. Jason, I know you talked to Strofe briefly, and I want to play something from the locker room that you found intriguing so we can share with the audience.
Am I playing it, or are we saying who's talking?
Xavier McKinney talking here.
You know, we got too carried away with being 2-0, and I think we felt like, you know, we had won the Super Bowl. And, you know, it's a long season, you know, and you have your ups and downs. So I think that was one of the games where we had our ups and downs. But you learn from everything. You learn from losses all the time. So I think that was something that we learned from. And I'm glad that it happened early rather than late. So that's just a lesson that you learn and you keep moving forward.
Anything in particular that stood out to you?
Yeah, and then I followed up and say, well, what exactly did you learn? And he's so good. Like, I thoroughly enjoy talking to him. I'm smarter every time I get done. Unfortunately, he came into the locker room shortly before the 2-minute warning was called, so we didn't get a whole lot of time with him. But, you know, at one point in that conversation, somebody brings up to him that Tucker Kraft said moments earlier that we have the best defense in the league, and as an offense, it's our responsibility to help them out. And I thought that was really interesting as well. But, like, I was a little bit floored, not to the degree of I was yesterday with Elgton Jenkins and the way he described his performance, but I was a little bit floored that guys would really get that full of themselves, right? Like, we know what Sheed said, and we know he got, you know, he was in the doghouse for that for a while. And Matt LaFleur, you know, called him out, not by name, but we all knew who he was talking about.
Hated that on Monday. Hated that.
What parts did you
Calling out Rashid Walker, I mean, again, 17-0 should be a mentality. We go 1-0 each week. It's his job to manage those guys and make sure, hey, we can talk about 17-0, but we need to focus on the Cleveland Browns and winning each week. He should have had them prepared, and they weren't prepared.
Yeah, I don't think Sheed, as I said to Matt in my follow-up to that, because I really didn't think it was fair to Sheed, like, he was just, like, you guys know this. Like, you guys get on a roll. And I've done it, certainly, where you say something, you're like, ooh, I didn't really mean to say that. And I don't like the way that sounded. And hopefully that doesn't come back to bite me. Well, his came back to bite him, right? So I didn't think it was not some sort of grand proclamation. And LaFleur's reaction made it sound like he was, you know, parading around the locker room in a towel, shouting, we're going undefeated, we're going undefeated, which was definitely not the case. Although I would appreciate it if you would cover up more quickly once he comes to the locker room. That causes you to stand and wait, because I don't talk to guys that aren't wearing at least underwear. Point is, yeah, it's a, you know, if you're in a towel, you got to at least have your drawers on, and I prefer at least shorts. But again, depends on what the timing is, and if we're about to get kicked out, and I really need to talk to you, occasionally I'll violate that rule.
Is it drawers or is it draws, Jason?
Well, again, I think me trying to sound cool and hip and young is probably not. So I'm gonna enunciate the way I normally would as a nerdy fellow that I am, and say that it is drawers. Gotta pull up your drawers. But I was surprised by what McKinney said, that after two wins, you know, you should be confident. You should be feeling yourself and feeling really good about your team. But I was surprised that he felt that way about this team, which tells me that there is still, even though there's a lot of their young guys have experience, right? The 23 draft class, the 22 draft class. Heck, even last year's draft class, there's a bunch of guys that have played a significant amount. It's surprising to me that they would have gotten this full of themselves, that he felt like he, you know, that, and he said he warned them before the game. I'd be curious to know how accurate that actually is. It's easy to say, oh, we got too big for our britches, because you lost the game, right? But he insisted that he had said something beforehand. They just can't, I mean, you just can't do that. Like, they're not that good just yet that they can just roll their helmets out there and expect to win.
I would hope they wouldn't have done that, and I put that on Matt LaFleur.
Well, you said that already. Yeah, that's Kyle Wallace.
You made your position very clear.
Yes. We know where you stand,
Kyle.
It's
frustrating that Matt LaFleur did that.
Jason, we appreciate the time, and ultimately they have an opportunity against what has been a very bad Cowboys defense, mm-hmm. and so we'll see what they do.
The opportunity is definitely there. You're 100% right about that. All right, fellas, good to talk with you. Take care. Be good.
That's Jason Wilde. Listen to him, Wilde and Tausch, 9 to noon across these very stations. And of course, I got to tell you about an 8-minute bake time. Cheez-It is a legendary snack cracker in frozen pizza form. The crust is perfectly mixed. I can't reiterate that enough. The crust is a perfect mix. You got that natural style that Palermo's gives, because Palermo's a part of this Cheez-It product. And we know Palermo's makes great products, but when you mix that crust with that Cheez-It flavor, it's the perfect flavor. Ultra thin, super crispy. They have great, great different toppings. Italian four cheese, cheddar jack supreme, pepperoni, short bake time. So you go from freezing to cheesing. Love that line. In 8 minutes. Find Cheez-It frozen pizza in your favorite local grocer's freezer aisle and taste what all that screaming and cheesing is about. Greg Scalzo, bi-weekly appearance. Excited to have Greg Scalzo, market manager of Good Karma Brands, former on-air host, now still on-air host, sometimes on Sunday Karma with Alex Rofe, Kyle Wallace, and Craig Karmazin. He joins us next.
You're listening to Kyle Brust and Nortman, KBN.
And you're disrupting my flow.
No, your flow.
Dang nabbit,
I had a good flow.
Gee golly willikers.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app. ESPN Milwaukee's Big Boss.
I'm not going to be able to help you.
The only one who holds Ben accountable.
We each do our own research, Ben.
Welcome to Thursdays with Greg Scalzo.
Happy Thursday!
On Kyle Brust and Norton.
Well, Greg, sticking to his MO of being late to everything. I'm Ben Brust, alongside Kyle Wallace, Alex Strofe's running the show. It's a KBN Sports Desk update with Alex Strofe.
Yeah, fellas, bad on me. I did not inform you about what's going on.
I literally
on.
Tried talking to you in the break, and
I had to
you
go
weren't there.
I had to go potty.
Oh, you was gone for a little bit.
Yeah, I had to go potty. I don't know what more you want me to say.
Nothing
here.
More.
So I've known for 3 days now that Greg Scalzo is on an official boycott.
Boycott?
Of Kyle Brustin.
Who does he think he is? What happened? Wait a minute. I'm trying to figure out why is he gone?
There's actually a couple answers to that question. So on Monday evening after our show, I went up to Greg's office and he said, hey, how was the show? You know, I said, good. You know, a normal small talk. And I said, hey, just to confirm, you're good for 3:30 on Thursday, correct? And he responded with, and I quote, I wrote this down, in fact. Let me get my notepad out. Bleep no, I'm boycotting, end quote.
Oh, what did y'all do?
And
you're part of this.
Me?
It's your fault, too. Huh? And I said, what do you mean you're boycotting? What are you talking about?
Yeah, I'm confused, genuinely. So is there more context?
Yeah, there's plenty more context, and it's pretty wild. So So he said, well, you guys continue to cancel on me. It's supposed to be a bi-weekly appearance. You're supposed to establish some consistency for your audience, and you've canceled on me each of the last three times.
Is this a joke?
And I said, well, the guys have been at, like, remote. Like, they were at Road America, or they're at IKEA on Thursdays, or Potawatomi Sportsbook, right? So it's kind of weird to have you in studio.
Yeah, we're partnerships, opening partnerships.
And he said, well, you don't have to cancel. I could just still do it. You know, establish some consistency for your wildly popular afternoon program, which he said sarcastically, might I add. And then I said, oh, okay. And then he went on in an expletive-filled tirade in my direction, which included, and I quote, you've got bleeping mad dogs sitting in an office up here and you don't even want to utilize them, end quote. He went on to say, quote, Ben takes the segment off and just expects me to bring the content. Kyle doesn't know whether or not he's a fan of the Green Bay Packers every time I show up. You, being me, don't know how to book a bleeping guest, and Brad Nortman's all angry at the world about bleeping envelopes, end quote.
Bleeping envelopes?
He was making a joke about Hear Brad Out, I think.
Oh, probably.
Sounds like excuses to me. Sounds like he's just making up reasons why he doesn't
want
to
join. So he yelled at me a lot, and so, I said, I'm going to leave now.
That's fine. I'm glad you left. And quite honestly, I've been disappointed with the Greg Scalzo appearances. I think he has taken this as an opportunity for him to be like, I'm too busy. I'm a VP. I'm a market manager. Like, I don't have time to do a hit on a bi-weekly Thursday. I barely make it to Sunday Karma with Kyle Wallace, Alex Stroph, and Craig Karmazin. So, like, this is just who he's becoming. He's becoming everything that I didn't know Greg Scalzo to be when we hosted a show for 6 years together.
He's a suit now.
He's a suit. I'm glad you're wearing a suit
he's
today.
A suit.
He's a true suit. He doesn't care as much about the fans that he used to. Every day when we showed up, we did a show for the fans. We did it for you listening. And I guess this comes at a spot where I got to be real. He wasn't bringing it. Like I have a million questions for Greg that I could ask him anytime that he's on with us. But I knew that he is always going to bring something, and he's always got something up his sleeve that he actually, I'm going to bring you back. Is it inside of the curtain? Is that what we say?
Behind the curtain.
Behind the curtain. inside the computer. Inside the curtain. Let's go behind the curtain a little bit. Greg Scalzo, before he would come on for his biweekly appearances here on Kyle Bruce Nortman, would ask me what's going on. Like, you know,
oh, wow.
He would, before Sunday Karma, he would tell me, like, hey, you've been watching the Brewers. Like, what's going on?
Oh, wow. Exposed.
So
I'm
really sad that, like, he's resorted to boycotting when what I know best of Greg Scalzo is he's really good at taking ownership. And by playing the victim here, it's a little sad for me to see. I mean, that's all I got on it. I think I'm calling.
You got bleeping Mad Dog in an office up here and you don't want to utilize
him? When was Mad Dog here?
Him. He's referring to himself as Mad Dog Russo.
Oh, my God.
Mad Dog this Russo dude wouldn't be like, oh, these guys, they didn't ask me good enough questions. Mad Dog Russo makes content. Greg Scalzo has not been making content. He's been asking me for content.
I know great value brand Mad Dog up there, and Greg Scalzo ain't sitting here yeah, trying to act
that. Yo, that's too nice.
It might be. I need to maybe go to a tree store. With a dollar.
John in Milwaukee chimes in. If Greg steps into the studio right now, I think Ben does a little backpedaling. No,
not today.
No, I mean,
not today. He's standing on business day, and he got me right. I'm 10 toes behind.
Did I say anything that's seems like it's not factual?
You know, next time he texts you before Sunday Karma asking you, hey, what's going on with the Brewers? Or hey, what's going on with the Packers? Or hey, what's going on with the Bucks?
You should tell us.
No. You should say, I'm boycotting.
Well, and that too, but you should also tell us.
Say, I'm boycotting. And just let him flounder and swim. I had the audacity of Greg Scalzo to say that. The audacity. That sounds like a man that's looking for an excuse. We all know whenever we did have to cancel because we were at one of our wonderful partners, Greg Scalzo,
we're looking out for everyone involved.
And he exhaled with a sigh of relief because he was like, oh, I get 30 minutes back in my day. I get 15 minutes back in my day. So that's a bunch of malarkey. That sounds like a guy that quit on KBN Nation and quit on everybody here. Shame on Great Value.
Boycott Greg Scalzo is where I'm at. What are you going to do on Sunday Karma? Or he's not going to show up anyway. My bad.
I don't think he'll be there. Yeah. I'm pulling a little double duty on Sunday, and I'm looking forward to it.
A little Sunday Carmen to Green Bay game day?
Yeah, a couple hour difference, a couple hour break in between.
A little break in between, yeah. Look at you.
Maybe a little pickleball, you know?
Yeah, probably.
Work a sweat out.
You want to do a little pickleball Sunday?
On
the noon slate?
I moved the apple orchard with the wife and kid to Sunday morning. So.
Why haven't you guys invited me to pickleball?
Would you play?
No, but I'm just
That's why we don't invite you. You don't do anything with us, and you don't want to do anything with us. Now that we know that Greg is...
Can we talk about Sean Alexander?
Well... You can have a quick 30 seconds, because I do want to get to Kyle. I have Kyle's choice here, because he read me about 10 things he wanted to talk about with the Green Bay Packers today. So next segment, Kyle gets to decide which one he thinks is best.
Okay, well, Strophy's choice real quick. Get it? Because it kind of sounds like Sophie's choice.
Yep.
So Sean Alexander announced earlier today on the Up
Former
and Adam show.
Running back
NFL
in the
MVP,
NFL.
Yeah. Him and his wife are expecting their 14th child.
Oh, they busy.
14th.
Wait a minute. How old is she?
Now it's time for everyone else to do the research, and we can give some more updates, because Strofe just dropped that in and doesn't have any other knowledge
He's
behind
48.
It.
48? That she got to be at least 44, 45. That's a blessed woman.
Well, if they're smart, they're going to need to continue to furnish their home, and they can use IKEA. They can have stuff delivered, because they need more time to take care of all these kids, and they can get delivery. They don't want to assemble. IKEA's partnered with TaskRabbit to make everyday life easier at home. They might need some closet planning, kitchen design planning. They're probably doing a lot at that home to continue to grow it, because they got 14 children. So my overall point here is IKEA has great options for you. IKEA Oak Creek, join the family program. It is absolutely free. Great offers within that. You get a ton of opportunity on buyback and resell programs. So just... go to IKEA, join the family membership, because it's free and you get so many perks with it. IKEA.us or visit IKEA Oak Creek and check it out.
46 and 48.
Who in the world wants 14 children nowadays?
Actually, I kind of got a take on this. Like, if you're 48, in 18 years, how old would you be?
66. Really? Your other kids are going to be old enough.
They're gonna have to take their kids. They're gonna have to take care of their own kid, like their brothers and sisters.
How old is their oldest kid?
Kyle's been married since 2002, so probably pretty old.
They're probably not that busy, because it's just never mind. Next,
20 years old, their oldest kid.
This is Kyle Brustin Nortman.
Hey, Gabe. Also, did you call us idiots?
Yeah, it's exactly what I called. Yeah.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Nights I stay up, cashing in my padlock. Some nights I call it a
Strophe us. Sang this earlier today to us.
Some nights I wish they just fall off. But I still wake up.
I'm going to spare the audience. Ben Bruss, Kyle Wallace, Alex Ropes running the show, not singing.
He must feel better now.
800-990-3776 is the Carbis Talk and Text Line. Yes, this is the same show that I told Strofe. I don't know how someone willingly loves you.
Yeah, and the thing is, he'll be singing that on your couch tonight.
I think they're going to be all right. No one can willingly love you.
I mean, what she said was worse.
You're pretty cute.
Pretty cute is crazy.
That's pretty
wild.
We can all together acknowledge that her putting that number 4 on the list of 7 and then just, you're pretty cute, he's pretty cute.
Which, like, I get she's texting you, so maybe she doesn't want to be like, yeah, my man's a sexy. But, like, if you asked me what I liked about her, I'd be like, she's damn fine. She's sexy.
Has she ever called you fine, damn fine or sexy?
Yes.
Was she laughing?
Not recently.
She a lie. She a lie.
What did you do?
I don't know, man. That's what we're gonna have.
How's
to talk
your communication
about
skills?
I think mine personally really good.
Man, now you're definitely coming over.
Jeez.
Oh God. Jeez. What are you doing? Did you listen to Kyle get himself in trouble at home too many times?
Listen, I was called my girl because I'm a.
I never said anything about hers being bad.
No, you said mine personally.
Mine.
Well, that's
mine
what I thought
personally
the question was.
No,
so you
no,
said
no,
how are your communication skills?
Stroke, let me tell you something. You ain't cute enough or handsome enough to be talking like that about your woman.
I didn't say anything about her. You said, how are your communication skills? And I was going to go on to say that I have a communications degree.
How was your communication skills in your relationship?
I would say it's good.
Oh.
Wow. Wow, this kid.
There was a pause.
The honeymoon phase is over. Poor guy. Remember, he was like, oh, so perfect. Now, all of a sudden, the honeymoon phase
will never die.
Yeah, okay, I don't know about that.
Bro, you wear your emotions when you speak.
Yeah.
And when you used to say those things, the honeymoon phase, oh,
the honeymoon phase
will never die.
It will never die.
You were just like, yeah, the honeymoon phase will never die. Yeah.
It'll never die. It's lost its touch a little bit.
Yeah.
If we're being honest with one another. Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
If we're being honest with one another, bro, we told you a year ago the honeymoon phase is going to be.
But
hold on.
The honeymoon phase can't stop me.
In my defense, it lasted a lot longer than anybody else you've ever seen, right? Right? It's lasted a lot longer than anybody else's you've
right?
ever seen.
Right? You tell us, right? Right?
Best honeymoon phase ever.
Oh, gosh. Poor guy.
But it might be over. Hey, Ben, just make up that room for me, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah.
We just changed the sheets. You're all good.
Man, I tell you.
I have two keys on my house
Wait
right
a minute.
Now.
Okay, I will say, don't
so
tell
me. So if you want me
at.
To give you one before I leave.
Might not be a bad idea.
Just in case. Just give me a text, because the dogs bark. We don't want to wake up the baby.
Yeah.
Sound good?
Yeah, sounds good.
Poor guy.
Kyle, you have now been gifted 2 minutes to talk about the hottest thing you are on.
I guess it's easy. Here's my thing is that I'm thinking about it. Green Bay Packers, man, listen, in the draft this year, we got a gift. We got a gift, and the gift was a Bugatti. When I talk about a Bugatti, I'm talking about the golden Bugatti of Matthew Golden, the who is. You can laugh all you want.
I'm not laughing at you, sorry. Oh. Ripping Rona. Sean Alexander's still in the honeymoon phase, apparently.
He must be. Listen, he must be.
As we mentioned, he is 14. His 14th child.
I love my girl. I'm going to say, get away from me. We got already got 10 of these things. What you mean? What more you want?
What, you're planning on having 10?
Hell no. I'll be happy with 3, 2. I'm too old for that.
So we got a Bugatti.
Yeah, we got a Bugatti. We clearly have a Bugatti. The big thing is this. It's time for Matt LaFleur to finally unleash Matthew Golden, because when I look at this upcoming game, this defense that the Dallas Cowboys have, they allow explosive plays, and they allow other receivers to have big-time games, not just any receiver. When you're talking about a guy like Wandale Robinson, that kid is fast, and what can he do? He can have explosive plays just like my boy Matthew Golden. Luther Burden had a big play. He's a fast guy as well. But then on top of that, Malik Nabers is just an all-around great receiver, but also another guy with speed. The formula for this football game for my Green Bay Packers to win should start with our Golden Bugatti and Matthew Golden. It's time to unleash Matthew Golden. He dabbled in it last week, tried to get him some touches last week. No. This needs to be a Matthew Golden game. As a matter of fact, it will be a Matthew Golden game.
Heading into week 4.
No.
Week 1 is just the Matthew Golden game.
This
week 2 is just the Matthew Golden game.
Listen, mark my words. If Matt LaFleur...
We've barked him three other times.
If Matt LaFleur is an elite head coach, he understands after he watches the film of the Dallas Cowboys, and says, oh my gosh, I got the cheat code. Matthew Golden is about to go off this week. Start him. Take the over, whatever you got to do, but it is going to be a golden day or golden night for Matthew Golden. I'm telling y'all, come Monday, I'm going to be walking around strutting and say, I told you so. Matthew Golden should at least go for 114.
114 yards?
114 and a touchdown. Easy. Easy day.
Look, easy day. He has the potential.
No, he's going to do it.
Oh, okay.
Listen, he got targeted a lot this last game. Matthew Golden should at least have 5 to 6 catches and 114 yards. He's going to have a big play. Big play against this defense that gives up explosive plays. The Bugatti. Did you spray that hand sanitizer again?
Smell good, doesn't
it? No, it smells like a fruity.
Smells like what? What were you going to say?
Fruity. What do you mean? What was I going to say? It smells like fruity.
Power miss.
Last time I checked, there's not a fruit that starts with a W.
I wasn't going to use W.
Also, watermelon starts with W.
Yeah, exactly.
Jim and Molly are up like next to Madison. You got the damn sports show in Beaver Dam. We're back in 2 minutes.
We're bad at this whole getting ourselves in trouble thing.
Yeah, I tried talking so people couldn't hear what you were
saying. I'm a man of the house. They ain't never get me in trouble.
No, you're not. You sat middle seat on the way to Lisbon.